I don't know about Micah Parsons on a startup program.
I don't know
if that's a good combination of him just, hey man, we're starting.
What, the Commanders?
We're just starting up. I mean, I'm just like a just team like general, the Titans or a young team. Well, the Commanders.
The experienced 12-win-a-year team didn't work.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly don't know if the number one overall pick 3-4 team would work, but with no other veterans there to kind of rein him in. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. So probably a contender, most definitely somebody who's close. I don't know what Buffalo has.
Detroit.
But Buffalo, Detroit, those are teams that that seem like they're a couple of players away, maybe.
Yeah, okay, I could see that.
But he ain't going nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah. That was exactly where I was going to go. All of this is very fun to think about. I see you, Cam. If the Cowboys really want to be a-holes, they could tag him. That's exactly what will happen. What you mean? Like, that is, hey, you get out here and play. If we don't get a contract, don't worry. You'll be on a tag next year. Yeah. Don't even worry
about
that.
Got you, big dog.
Yeah. Don't worry about
that.
They
did it with their quarterback. They're damn sure not afraid to do it with an edge rusher or a hybrid, I guess.
He's an edge rusher. I don't actually think he can play off-ball linebacker anymore. He hasn't.
Well, I don't think he plays off-ball linebacker, but I also think he brings pressure from the interior just as much as he does from the outside.
Now, that is true.
So it's kind of, no, I don't think he's an off-ball guy. I think he can line up off-ball but just to create chaos.
That's 100% true, which I should have known. Who am I trying to come back at my guy with some football knowledge? What am I doing? I should have known better.
I was doing that more clarity for myself to make sure everybody out there knows. I'm not trying to say this sucker's Ray Lewis. No, that's not the point. The point is his ass will line up anywhere and wreak havoc, no question.
Yeah. Nah, I'm just messing with you.
By the way, did we figure out Joanna's last name?
Marks.
Heartland.
Heartland? Oh.
Yeah,
well,
Heartland.
I think she dropped that Marks big dog.
Hey, he tried to save you twice, Reg, and you hit Marks again. The second time you played the interview, you came back. He tried to correct you in the interview, and you came back, and you that was blah, 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 and Joanna Marks. I said, what is she rolling with right now?
I'm all messed up,
big dog.
Hey, that was great. That was great. No, that was good. And tip the cap to Cal and Hannah, because, I mean, most owners aren't even going to play into that. They just –
a lot of planning went into it.
By the way, I mean, I hope the – what is this? Statute of limitations? Yeah. I hope that's up because I'm pretty sure taking a passport picture for somebody that ain't you, I'm pretty sure that's a federal offense.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can get charged for that.
I almost took that out the interview.
But they said it's a likeness. It is a likeness.
Yeah, I hear you.
I still almost took it out the interview.
I hear you. I don't know. I don't know if I'd have fessed up to that one. I hope the evidence has been burnt.
Shout out to them. I mean, I was talking to them 2 days before, and they were like all in. They coordinated their outfits and everything.
That's great. That's great.
I will respond. I will respond.
No, we're even.
Oh, they don't think he's going to die anytime soon either.
No, it shouldn't.
No, we're even.
It shouldn't.
I simply, Joanna bumped into me one time at the cook-off, the VIP area. Yeah. She bumped into me one time with a cowboy hat on, and I was just like, I said, oh, excuse me. And this is before I really had known her. I said, excuse me, that big hat. Oh, I got a big head? No, it's a cowboy hat. It's a big, I mean, it was 2 months later, Hannah and her were giving it to me. We got big heads. Huh? If she got a big head, I got it. No, hell no, that wasn't what I said. But okay.
No, you're right. Hannah got a big head.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Is that how you differentiate between Hannah and Joanna?
I was referring to the hat.
That's how I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
goodness.
Hannah got a big head.
I like that you did that to try and save me, because I got two offenses on Joanna and Hannah right now.
I can handle it with Hannah. Hannah got a big head. and Cal got them big-ass fingers. I told Cal that. He got them big-ass fingers.
Yeah, he does got some digits.
Got them Johnsonvilles coming out of his palms.
I didn't think that this was going to turn into a roast, so you know what? I'm going to go ahead slowly back
I
my
love
way.
Big head Hannah.
You'll get blamed for it.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm going to go
ahead. I got it.
Finish out the week. It's been a good one, and it only gets better as right now you're listening to KLT AM.
Damn.
KLT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station. You ain't going to get me like that.
I'm going to lock you up.
The drive is live.
Yeah, it is. By the way, word on the street, Clint, that Nico Harrison is going to take over the negotiations for Micah Parsons.
Is he?
He's going to slide over.
I'll be damned.
He's going to slide over from the Mavericks and take over for the Cowboys, and he's going to hold that thing. And by the way, by the time that thing's over, they will have traded CeeDee Lamb. They will have traded Micah Parsons. Their first round guard they drafted from Alabama. They'll get rid of all three of them. Nico Harrison gets his hands on it. You got to be kidding me. In the same year, potentially, Luka Doncic and Micah Parsons out. Out of Dallas in their prime. That is fantastic. That is just crazy. 4 years, baby. 4 years. Three-time all first team, all NFL defense, first team, all pro, four Pro Bowls, defensive rookie of the year. We can't figure this out. You got to be kidding me.
Leave it up to Jerry, baby. Whatever whatever it costs me extra in this contract, I'll double it in TV coverage.
Yeah, Jerry and Steve, boy, they over here having a bomb, boy. Yeah, boy, that's
Every TV station led with it this morning.
Oh, man.
Every single one of them. You know what that kind of coverage would have cost Jerry if he wanted to pay for it?
Where?
Anywhere, the star, the topic, the number one ace sports story in all in the country right now is that.
Yeah.
You know what it'd cost him if he had to pay for that right there?
Millions.
Hey, that's it, baby. Now, is it more than what it's going to cost him in extra monies for Micah? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, Mike is trying to push this thing. Yeah, this is going well past the CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott situation, but it's crazy. We'll give you the latest on that a little bit later on as The Drive is live, and we're going to have a good time today, as always, on a beautiful Friday, hanging out here on The Drive. And Clint, today's going to be the big day. I saw Brian McTaggart tweet out, Clint, that your boy has arrived in Boston. Carlos Correa, he's there.
Is Pena there yet?
We got Los. I ain't heard nothing about JP.
Where was
I
Los coming from? Is he coming from Minnesota or were they out of town?
Surely
he went through and scooped up Daniela, didn't he?
yeah, he got Daniela. Shoot, she's down there with his parents. His parents still live here.
I bet she's on cloud. I didn't think about that. I bet Daniela's like, Menace, get me the hell out of Minnesota back to the H. Hell yeah. I bet you. Oh, man.
She may be a little pissed. This is the best time to be at Minnesota. Fucking, they could have done this in the winter.
No, there ain't no part of Daniela that wants to be in Minnesota right now. Even if hubby was hitting 300 like he was last year. Back to H-Town? Come on, man. We didn't even talk about that yesterday, Tyler. We were so geeked about Los coming back. We didn't even think about his bride. Hell.
Baseball boner was distracting, man.
Usually that's followed up with something.
Yeah.
You dirtbag. Yeah,
no, I mean, not
great.
Like that.
This is great. This is great. Good
not like
for her,
that.
Man.
Not like that. Good for her. Yeah, she's back, baby. She may have been she might have been down at the Galleria before that thing became final.
If you don't know the facts, then you gotta chill the
She might have been down there at that Galleria going in there and knocking things out before he got there. By the way, I do want to shout out, and I know we'll get to training camp today. As they got back on the field, I do want to shout out to Carlos Correa. We did talk about this a little bit yesterday, fellas, of just the intangibles he brings. Like, I don't think it is a small thing, Clint, that, and you brought it up yesterday, like that the Astros are not dealing at all with an Alex Bregman, Rafael Devers situation. I don't think it's a small thing that Carlos Correa, I mean, he ain't 37.
No.
He just turned 30. Like, that he's not walking in, Clint, and saying and making a bigger thing about the position he plays.
No.
Like, he's coming in, Clint, and just he made it easy for everybody. Hey, I'll play third, big dog. I got it. Time of my career. I'm doing it. Because, Clint, I think it's probably a fair assessment in his mind. He probably believes he's the best shortstop on this team. And I think there's really good reason for him to believe that. And he also is, you know, he is a legend here, right? Like he has enough cachet or pelts on the wall, as you would say, Clint, to walk in and say, "Hey, y'all, I'm a shortstop." Like I think he has all of the cachet to do that, but he is making life easier, and I think that's a part of the intangibles that a lot of people are talking about that he's going to bring that that's really not shown in his numbers.
Well, look, I agree with you. I mean, it's a big boy move by him because I agree with you. I would say he's probably the better shortstop right now. I mean, I love Jeremy Pena. I'm talking about defensively.
Yep.
And I hadn't watched a ton of Minnesota this year, but unless he has just fallen off of a cliff. I feel like Carlos Correa did things defensively that not many guys are doing. Now, Pena's great, but I think if we're splitting hairs here and if we're having to decide, I think Carlos is the better second baseman. I mean, better shortstop. Now, it's a big boy move by him to go to third. Here's the deal. I don't think he's an Astro unless he says, I'll play third base. I don't believe that Dana Brown, I don't believe that Jim Crane, I don't believe that Joe Espada, I don't believe any of those guys are bringing Carlos Correa in here without the confirmation from Carlos himself that this isn't going to be a problem. Because Pena is our shortstop. He is our leadoff hitter. He is not going anywhere. He's our future.
It would have been a non-starter. Right.
Oh, yeah. It would have killed the deal. It would have killed the deal, I think. And so.
Well, he could have killed it then.
Yeah, I think. Well, he could have. Yeah, but I mean, I think it's here's the deal. You want to play third in Houston, or do you want to stay in Minnesota and let them find your replacement here over the next couple of years? And I think that he had a decision to make. And look, they're cutting money in Minnesota. They wanted to move him because of the money. And who wants to stick around and play knowing that that's the case year in, year out, that you're potentially the one that they're going to move when they decide to cut money? So, I think it was a big boy move by Los. I'm glad he made the decision because I don't believe he's here if he didn't make the decision. And as an Astros fan, I couldn't be. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll be dead ass honest with you. Maybe we can have this conversation later on or whenever. I'd rather have Carlos Correa at third base and in that lineup than Bregman at third base and in the lineup.
Oh, my. Well, hold on now. That's one to sit down and
well, let it marinate for a minute and tell me how you feel about it.
It's huge.
It is, unless he just goes in there and can't play third, which I think it's going to be, I think he's going to be a natural fit there, and it's going to be sexy as hell.
Yeah, it's not the defensive thing. Yeah, it's not the defensive part of it. I mean, did Bregman win a Gold Glove last year? I'm certain he did at third base.
Uh-huh.
But in the
year before that, Urias won one.
Yeah, but I believe Los is going to be a great defender. It's just from an offensive standpoint, Bregman has been really, really good, especially this year. And even if his slow starts at the end of it, it's still really good numbers. From a hitting perspective. I don't know about that, but, I mean, it's a conversation. It's damn sure a conversation. Before we get to training camp, real quick, where do you think Los is tonight? It looks like, I'm guessing, he's arrived in Fenway, and he is going to be in the lineup. I feel like he's going to be third.
I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, behind Pena, if he plays, Altuve, and then Correa seems like right now, I think normally I would put Yordan there, but right now I'd put Correa with the current guys they have healthy.
I agree, and I think you put. I mean, what we're gonna go Walker in the four hole.
Yeah,
we're back.
Yeah.
We're back to leaning into Walker a little bit. I'm telling you, man, Diaz started to come around as well. So,
and then Cam in the five spot behind him.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. And you got to find somewhere to put your new lefty in the outfield to get that bat in the lineup. Is he in Boston? I'm gonna assume all these guys are right.
I mean, his ass better be in Boston. If Carlos has made it, your ass better be in there too.
Hey, none of these guys should be taking their time, huh?
Jesus, you don't get another day in Miami. Hell no.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I like Walker in that four hole, Diaz in that five hole, and then throw a dart at the rest of them, man. I like where it's at though. Coming around, baby.
Yeah, we'll get you any of that information once it comes. But it is training camp resumed. They were off yesterday. They're back at it today. And what seems like has been the way things have gone all week is the defense. Again, the defense seemed to be dominant again today, and the secondary in particular seemed to be dominant again today, along with the pass rush. And I think I want to start here, Clint, because I know you've watched damn near every one of their practices. From training camp to OTAs to mandatory minicamp. And I'm looking at this, and it's a It's bordering to domination almost on a daily basis by this defense, who we really had high hopes for. And I'm just, from your perspective of what you've watched, is it to you, and 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch can jump in on this, is it that this defense is just this good, or that they're taking advantage of a developing offense? Which one do you feel like this is more of? Do you think this defense would be doing this to most teams in training camp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the defense. I think the defense is that good, Ron. I mean, because usually, you know, what you hope for when you're building a defense is you hope to put a pass rush up there that your secondary benefits from. Or you hope to roll out a secondary that your pass rush can benefit from. One or the other, right? One or the other is the strong point that everybody else kind of feeds off of. And I look at the Texans, and I think they can pick their poison. You know, you've got a pass rush that can exist on its own, and you've got a secondary that can play any coverage under the sun and be elite in that coverage. When you've got the two corners they've got, the two safeties they got, a nickel defender that they've got, the speed they have at the linebacker position. EJ Speed was running, was rotating, and I know there's heavy rotation.
Wasn't he?
He was rotating with the threes at once a few days ago. So, and I'm not saying he's a third string back. I'm just saying that that's kind of the numbers that they have there. And so, look, I think this is a rare occasion where you've got Danielle Hunter, one of the highest paid veteran edge rushers in the game, and you've got Derek Stingley Jr., the highest paid, is he still the highest paid? One of the highest paid corners.
No, Sauce passed him, but
that's,
yeah.
That's right. One of the highest paid corners in the game, right? And then you also got their sidekick, if you will, and I'm only saying that because they're not making the money yet, in Will Anderson and Kamari Lassiter, that aren't on the big contracts yet, that are still young players in this league, that are absolutely problems on both levels, right? And so I think that combination of two great edge rushers, two good to great corner combo type players, that's a problem, man. That's a problem for anybody.
You're gonna get hard.
Yes, if you're not, something's wrong.
I already am.
This is one of those things where, with this defense, like, and I'm not joking. I know people get mad when I say this. Like, D'Amico is going to have to manage these guys to allow that developing offense to develop and to install and to do those things. That is the biggest problem in training camp. How do you manage your offense getting that work they need, and also don't take that fire and that bite out of this nasty ass defense? I mean, the obvious answer is to play your twos and let those guys get run, and then it's a win-win for everybody involved. Problem is, you got to get them starters the reps they need.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing here as you're looking at this, and we can continue this on the other side. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this, and we'll give you a little bit more of what happened if you missed it. What happened defensively, because there were plays made all over the place, which has been kind of a calling card of camp on the defense. What do you think it is? Do you think that this defense is just this damn good, or they are more taking advantage of a developing offense? We understand, as we've talked about, they are installing things. There are a lot of new pieces, new parts, and so that can be understood. Do you think they'd be doing this to the Rams if they were in camp? If they'd be doing this to the Ravens, they'd be doing this to the Bills, to the Chiefs. You think they'd be doing it to those teams? We'll discuss that. And Clint brought up something with that secondary and pass rush that we got to look at as well. We'll do that coming up next, right here live on the Drive.
Boy, this is getting weird quick.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Cornbread said, I love a dominating defense. Cam said, I think it's 50-50. 50% the offense is still implementing a new game plan, and on the other 50%, our defense is just too good. And that's why I said, what we're watching and what we've watched, Clinton, you can attest, right? Like, the vast majority of the time, the defense has been, I mean, I don't think dominant is too strong of a phrase to use with what we've seen from them in camp.
No, I think they've been suffocating. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. Anytime they've backed off just a little bit and they've given some underneath quick stuff, you know, I think the offense has had a decent day. I think C.J. Stroud has had a get the ball out kind of day. And then there's those days where you go out there and the offense is trying to push the ball down the field a little bit. And sure, you have a couple of catches. I think Nico Collins caught a back shoulder on Kamari Lassiter a couple of days ago. And, you know, you get a couple of great catches along the way. You even get a couple that'll pop. You know, that I think Cade Stover popped a little crossing route where, you know, they got kind of a little bit confused maybe in coverage. But otherwise, I mean, you're looking at, again, there were six pass plays called. The last time I charted, which was two practices ago, six pass plays called and three, if not four, pressures. I mean, we'll give you a 130-yard completion when the other four snaps are, you know, minus seven, minus eight, hits on the quarterback, pressure on the quarterback, chaos in the backfield. Yeah, look, I think this defense, Ron, is as I said before, like if we just had a really good pass rush here and they were taking advantage of a overhauled offensive line, then I'd say, yeah, you know, it probably has just as much to do with the offense as it does. But the reality of it is this secondary can squeeze down and give this pass rush an extra beat to get there. I mean, that's the scary part.
Well, yeah, and to your point today, two interceptions. Kamari Lassiter got a pick off C.J. Stroud during 7-on-7s. Jalen Smith, who actually walked off injured. I know you love Jarrett Smith. He walked off injured today, but he intercepted Davis Mills after fighting for a ball against Brevin Jordan out there. So they had two picks today. And they have, as you said, they have been suffocating. And that right there to the NFL – that is the scary thing about this defense. Usually, all right, hey, man, we got a pass rush that really helps, you know, a secondary. Maybe you have a weaker corner or you have a weaker nickel, but you got a pass rush where they don't have to cover as long. That is not the case here, man. They got a chance to, as you just kind of said, to help each other. There are moments where maybe Will and Daniil don't have to. Maybe they can wait a beat on a move or try a longer move, a spin move or something that isn't as quick, and still get there because the secondary has them on locks. It just, whatever it is, when you have a secondary and a pass rush like that, that has a real good chance. Yep. To develop into turnovers. Well, and that is a game changer right there.
D'Amico just has the arsenal, right? The toolbox, if you will, is wide ass open. I mean, it is right now, it is wide ass open. And assuming they can stay healthy, you know, the ability to not ask Azeez Al-Shaair to ever have to cover Travis Kelce or Toa Toa to ever have to cover these guys in critical situations. Never is a hard thing to accomplish, but in critical situations like playoff games in the third quarter, right? Like the ability to not just have one counterpunch, but to have two, three, or four different counterpunches with different nickel defenders, different coverages, different safeties that are hybrids that can roll down and play man. Like, you've just got so much. You can throw a million different looks at these guys, and you got a much better chance. So, not only are they really good, they have the ability to be multiple, and that is a nasty combo for D'Amico Ryan. So you mentioned Davis Mills there. You know, two practices ago, Davis Mills threw two picks.
Yeah.
So again, I mean, it's not just a CJ not seeing things or a Davis not seeing things or you know, this is when this defense wants to, they can make it really, really difficult on the quarterback. And I think we're going to see that more times than not. I'd be shocked if we saw a game this year, 17 games. I'd be shocked if we see a team that is out there and they protect their quarterback well and the quarterback has easy, quick throws all day long.
Yeah, that's just the thing is, will this translate against the teams they need this to translate against?
I think the only question, though,
that's
right?
The
only question, right, Ron, is if somebody like let's call it a Detroit. The Detroit game got out of whack last year with all the interceptions, so I don't think that's necessarily a good
No, the Ravens game is the one that comes to me.
There's one. Yeah. There's one. You got the Ravens. Yeah, I'm just thinking about teams, right? You got the Ravens. Yeah. I think you got the Lions. There's a handful of teams out there that are downhill run first types of teams, and if they can run the ball, now they're going to have the Texans are going to have a little bit of a problem there. They're going to have something that we hadn't really seen. But to me, that's the only way you're going to get these guys.
Is running the football.
You got
to
run it.
And then forcing them at least those guys off the edge to slow up a little bit. I think we saw that, like you said. I mean, Baltimore just had them. I mean, that was probably the worst game they had all season. And they fought through. But to be honest, last year, I mean, they gave Josh Allen and Buffalo hell.
Yep.
And I believe they led the league in scoring. I know that's one of those teams we're talking about. They gave Miami hell, and that's at least from an offensive perspective, a really good team. Now, I think the Chiefs in two meetings, especially the first meeting, they took advantage of the Texans. The Ravens obviously did. Like you said, the Lions threw five interceptions and still was able to match or to march the ball up and down the field. That's to me, the only thing that is holding, or the step that we don't clearly see, is this defense, when they have to play against the really great offenses, are they able to hold them down like they're going to be able to do to, I think, Tennessee, or they're going to be able to do to probably Indy, or they're going to be able to do to the lower offenses around the league who they will just smother?
Yeah, look. I mean, that's the thing, Ron. We won't know that right until rubber meets the road. But then even with that scenario, you know, the ability again at that point for D'Amico Ryans to say, you know what, we're gonna man up outside. We're gonna get our safeties down about 10 yards off the ball, playing some kind of quarters look pre snap with that kind of shell, and we're coming downhill hard. Right now, if you pull off play action and you throw it and you beat Kamari Lassiter over the top and you beat Derek Stingley over the top, or you somehow get somebody behind Kalen Bullock or something in a single high safety, then, hey, if you hold the ball that long to get, then good, that's good for you. We'll line up and do it again, see how many times you can do it. Yeah. There's just so many different ways that they can stop the run if they need to. So adding that extra hat to the box is – here's the other part of it is you have the ability to add the hat to the box, and you got guys that have no problem adding the hat to the box. You know, at least they don't mind it. Now, I don't know if they can hold up, but they damn sure don't mind the physicality that goes on in the box.
Yeah, I think that's the point you're making, is they have – we talk about this on offense a lot, but they have a lot of answers. They seem to have personnel that should allow them to have a lot of answers to do things. The only place – where you wonder about their answers is running the ball right down your throat. That's the only place. But even there, they've got a lot of different guys that can rotate. They can bring in Fadakasi, who's a really good run stopper. So that is maybe the only spot. But they seem to have a lot of answers. All right, the big news right now in the sports world here in Houston is still Carlos Correa. He is back. He will be an Astro. We should see him tonight in his first game back with Houston. What to you, what will make this Carlos Correa trade a success? What will make it a success? We'll discuss that next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, what is the breaking news you have, Tyler Milners?
Just a little bit more good news regarding the Houston Astros, the baseball team in town. It keeps coming. Los Correa rejoins the squad yesterday, and people, we have shortstop Jeremy Pena. That panty dropper is reinstated from the injured list for Joe Espada and company right now today. Welcome back, Pena. Saw him hit that bomb in Sugar Land. You got your shortstop, Houston. Let's ride.
Yep, he is reinstated, Jeremy Pena, and they have also activated all of the guys they traded for, Correa, Sanchez, and Ramon Urias. Bryce Matthews and Jacob Melton are optioned back to Sugar Land in AAA. Zach Short is just DFA. Damn, Zach. Houston has also
came up a bit short.
Yeah, he did. So. Anyway, Houston recalled.
You believe on kicking them when they're down? That's for sure.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, leg drop right there.
I meant more so that was just corny as hell by me. But I feel you. I feel you.
Hogan. Houston recalled Nick Hernandez to fill the spot on its pitching staff left by trading Ryan Gusto. So Nick Hernandez is called back up. Bryce Matthews, Jacob Melton are back to riding buses. Zach Short, we'll see where he ends up. I think he'll end up somewhere. I think he played well enough to obviously be picked up by somebody else. But the big news is Jeremy Pena is back, and we'll await to look at the lineup, and we assume he'll be leading things off. And that whole side of the infield looks completely different than it has the last several weeks. Jeremy Pena at short, Carlos Correa at third. By the way, Carlos Correa gets number four. Jesus Sanchez gets Carlos Correa gets number one.
I was about to say, whoa.
Sorry, number four was in Minnesota. Carlos gets number one. Brandon Rogers had no choice. And then Jesus Sanchez gets number four. Urias gets number 29. So that is that's the numbers if you're looking for that. But they are all back. And finally, as he said, some good news. This is going to look, Clinton Tyler, the closest to a real major league lineup that we have seen in a long time. In a long time today.
Where are all them space cowboys?
I'm telling you, they just sent a few of them down. Yeah, well, Hunter Brown's on the mound, too. Yes. I mean, it's...
There's still going to be a few of them in there, some that they've scattered throughout. But, yeah, this is as a fan, it feels really good, man. It's almost having dealt with the injuries and having – although it's been fascinating, I've enjoyed watching all these youngsters come up and make, like literally life-changing type plays. Maybe not with the Astros, but just in a standpoint of getting into big leagues and making – and getting a hit that won a game – are making a big impact. I mean, that's what memories are made out of, man. That's big time right there. We've watched them, you know, do that over and over again to the tune of having a nice little lead in the division, and now all of a sudden you start to get healthy, you make some moves, and it's good to finally be here, man.
Yep. Jeremy Pena back with the big club, and we should look to see him and Correa in the lineup for the first time together, but in the lineup today as he has been reinstated. Bryce Matthews, Jacob Melton back to Sugar Land also with these moves. All right, let's continue to look at the Correa situation here. And I threw this out there on the other side. Listen, with the Correa thing, we all agree this is a deal that they needed to make. Maybe if it's not specifically Correa, but they needed to add somebody to this offense. And in particular, at that position with Isak Paredes going down, and it appears he's going to miss the rest of the way. They needed to add some offense there, and they do it with Carlos Correa. Now, they are going to have to pay some money. The Twins are picking up some, but they are still going to have to pay a good amount of this, and they have him for 3 years. And next year will be interesting to see what they do with all of these guys they have that can play similar positions. But I would ask, what would be a success in this trade with Correa? What would be a success for you all in this trade with Correa? 713-572-4610. YouTube and Twitch, jump in this as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me, it's the Correa that we've always known. A solid, if he comes in and plays a solid third base, good deal. The 270 to 300 hitter that he's been in his career, and he has been the 270 guy this year, the 300 guy, slightly over 300 last year, and he's clutch in the process. Boom. Good. I mean, hell of a deal. There's no, when you're an alpha like he is, there's no holding that guy back. I mean, he's going to come in there and when need be, he's going to step up and say what needs to be said, and I think there's some youngsters that'll benefit from that, you know, on this roster. So I just don't see how it doesn't, you know, end up a success, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. There are some people who have some concerns. Somebody texted in here, Clint, and said, Ron, now that Tyler and the masses have had a chance to calm down from the Correa nostalgia, can you
still got a hat?
Can we objectively talk about the Astros and their pitching concerns?
Oh, screw you, buddy.
We'll get to. Good God, it's a fair thing to talk about.
I was joking, clearly.
We'll get to their pitching concerns, but I do want to get more to Correa. The reaction has been huge, right? This has been huge, and I think both of you said it yesterday. There's a personal thing. I would dare to say that I think it's fair to say that the reaction is actually bigger than what he has shown to be this year, numbers-wise. Again, if you missed it, thus far he's hitting .267, .319 on base, .386 slug, 7 homers, 19 doubles, and 31 RBIs. Do you think the reaction is a little too big from the player and what he provides on the field perspective? You think it's a little too big?
No, I don't. No, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I think the context matters. I think the you know, if you were just going to look at the box scores, then obviously there's, I mean, just the stat line, if you will, then you know, and just this year's in a vacuum. For half the season, then I mean, maybe I guess I don't know how you look at Carlos Correa as a Houston fan or a baseball fan that just understands what all Correa brings to the table, and feel the response is above. Like I think the only knock or the only hesitation or the only concern that I think is even like accurate or fair is, you know, the injury issues.
Yeah,
which I don't have any. I think that's part of pro sports, and it happens. It's clearly it's happened. We all know that in Houston this year. So I don't. I'm not. I mean, he's been
have been consistent with like his numbers this year. What I just read off. You've been consistent since the trade has happened. You're not really placing a lot on that. Like you've been consistent with, yeah, I see the numbers, but you think it's not as important. It's not as big of a deal of what he's
doing. I mean, what is the conversation around the numbers? Is the thought that concern, does somebody think that he is Father Time's jumped on his back and he's not the player he used to be? Because, I mean, like I look at it and you do a little digging on Carlos Correa, extremely slow start, all right? And then all of a sudden blows up in May. I mean, monster May.
Yeah.
Slows down in June a little bit. Now he's had a really good July. So, I mean, it's like, is the point, hey, do you like the trade or not like the trade? And Correa in totality? Or is the point, hey, man, has Father Time caught up with Carlos Correa? Is he no longer the same shortstop defensively, so he's going to move to third? Is he no longer the same caliber hitter? Is he not in clutch? Has he shrunk in big moments? Like I just don't see that being the conversation around Carlos Correa yet.
Yeah, and listen, I can see where some people, because this is there's a little bit of Nick Cayley going on here, Clint. When you start to look at what people are saying about Correa, what I'm seeing a ton of the leadership and the intangibles, That is that Sally just said it will definitely give us guidance in the clubhouse.
Hey, there's or, Sal.
What a shot in the arm he will be. But also with that, is he what they need on the field, right? You know, like all the intangible things are important. They do need an offensive player on the field. And I think I am with you. I need to see it before I believe that he is not going to be an impactful offensive player. I understand those numbers are not, you know, because I heard Tom Verducci say Carlos Correa was the best player traded at the trade deadline. He said that yesterday when everything ended on MLB Network. He said Carlos Correa was the best player traded at the deadline. I don't know how much I agree with that one completely, but it shows the praise and where many people in baseball think Carlos Correa is and where he will be. I know he's got 7 home runs. I know he's got 31 RBIs this year. But I just believe in that cat so much at 30 years old that when it counts and when it matters, he's going to put together good at-bats, and he's going to do what Carlos Correa does, and we may see him pull out the fake watch, and we may see him point to the wrist and all that. I will be more surprised if he ain't the guy that we remember him to be when it comes to it.
I am right there with you. Yep. I'm right there with you. I mean, it's like, I don't think Carlos Correa has Carlos Correa ever been a guy. And I'm not a stat watcher. I'm not a box score guy. Sure, I like to mull over him every now and then if I have a reason, but I'm not one that goes directly there to call a guy's worth or not. I mean, has Carlos Correa ever been a guy that, from a numbers perspective, was just, oh my God, I mean, this guy's just, I mean, he is absolute nails. The OPS, the number of home runs, the average, right? I mean, he's been a steady, really good offensive player that is nails on defense and clutches anybody at the plate. With an organization that's lived in the playoffs, he's been clutch at the plate. That's who Carlos Gray is.
Yeah. I think that's a really good conversation of it. He doesn't have a ton of years where he's put together seasons in the way that I think he's viewed.
Ron, he's had,
you know what I mean?
He's had 1 year. His home run total high on a season is 26. Yeah, and it was his contract year when he left Houston, right?
And that's his highest MVP finish ever, which is 5th.
But that's it. That's the only time he had more than 25 home runs.
Yeah, he's been an all-star only twice.
Yeah, I mean,
three times in his career.
He's typically a high teens. Like, I mean, he's a high teens. Like right here, season average for Carlos Correa, 18 home runs on his career in a season.
Yeah,
it's a little down this year. Okay, what is it down? 2 or 3 home runs off of his typical trajectory. So yeah, I don't think Carlos has ever been that guy that at the plate for a season is going to be the guy that carries you. I think he's just been a solid bat that, hey man, when it matters most, he makes noise.
That's a great defender, yeah. That's kind of what he's been. All right, coming up as we look at the Texans, Nick Caley talked about what he is seeing from C.J. Stroud. We'll let you hear what he had to say, and it really adds to a confession I wanted to talk about yesterday, but Carlos Correa rightfully ended that. But it adds to a confession that I want to make and discuss coming up next right here live on The Drive. Yeah!